Radio Network, the voice of the 3%, is now on the air.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
And what I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day and introduce them to their grandpa.
Come. Hurricanes. Tornadoes. Western firestorms. Earthquakes. Financial collapse. Government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Who do you turn to? You turn to Kat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the MediChat and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. The MediChat, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Just Measures Radio Network.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Yeah, my only hope was Betty Lou. She was the one. A combination AK-57 Uzi Raider laser triple barrel double scoped heat seeking shotgun.
Nobody knew where he came from. They only knew he came in.
Uh-oh, here he comes again. Here's Cope with the shooting bench.
I still remember these words. Oh, it's plain that you're looking for trouble. Trouble's what I try to shun. If that's what you want, then that's what you'll get. 'Cause cowboy, we're both packing guns.
You know what's good for you. Stay tuned for 100% Gun Talk, coming up right now.
44 spoke, and he sent lead and smoke. 17 inches of flame. Oh, the big one had never cleared leather. Beaten before he could start. A little round hole had appeared on his shirt. The bullet went clear through his heart.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are, running just a little bit late today, just a couple of minutes, not too bad. Glad y'all could make it in. Welcome to the all gun-related version of the Shooting Bench. It's the last day of July, and I feel so gypped because I didn't get it to a July. I cannot believe how fast this went. 4th of July was only, it seems like only a week ago. We were trying to figure out what we were going to do at Schatz Ranch and all this stuff, and now it's 1st August. It's unbelievable. So, we are going to... I'm going to open up the phone lines a little bit later here, probably after the first segment, and see if you guys have any questions or anything. One of the things that came up from a listener earlier today is have the predictions of the shortages in the availability and prices of AK-47s come to fruition yet. Well, yes and no. Let's see here. Let me look here. I got one more thing to open up. Now, we looked at some of our distributors here, and Sega's have gone up a little bit, but they are virtually non-existent. One place here it says availability limited. They haven't had any lately, and now they've come up with a few 223s. These are, let me find it here. The Sega AK style 223 with 20-inch barrel. They're $650, and availability is limited. It doesn't seem to have affected too much the Yugos and the Romanians and some of the other ones. It's only the stuff coming out of Russia. I thought that it would affect all of them pretty quickly. And some of these are. It has made some difference because a lot of these different models now, when you click on them, it says limited instead of available. Now, when we started talking about this that first night, everything was available, including when they say available, that means they've got at least 99 in stock. And even the Segas, everything was readily available. And the very next day, 24 hours later, all of the Segas were gone. And this is the first I've seen come back here, and there's only a few of them. So everything else, let me check RPKs right here. This is, limited. Limited RPKs are $700, and availability is limited. Inventory on hand is limited. So yes and no. Yes, it's affecting it, not as fast as I thought, but yes, it is doing pretty much what we thought it was going to do, just not nearly as quickly as I thought it was going to. So to fulfill my prediction, I think if we go back and listen, I believe that I said no later than the end of August. So we've still got a little bit of time yet to see. It's plugging along. It's doing what we thought it was going to do. So we'll see what happens by the end of this month. Let's see. Lots of stuff going on in the gun world. We'll get into that here in a little bit. Ammo right now, let me see. That's what I was just checking up on here. Let's see, covers 8 firearms manufacturers. All of the Kalashnikov stuff, we already know all that. All right, let's go check on the other one here. Give me just a minute to cruise down through here. Cruise down through here and look at some of these. Let's see, that is March, so that's not going to help us. All right, let me go one more place. I can do this. Most tricky tick. quick and easy. So, let's see. Shot by Kelly. There we go. All right. Here we are with one of the biggest. I don't think it's the biggest, but it's one of the largest. Certainly the biggest in Arizona. One of the biggest in the country of surplus type stuff like that. I mean, there's lots of other. Oh, this has changed. This has changed since yesterday. Outstanding. As of yesterday, everything was domestic. There was Hornady and there was Winchester and PMC and stuff like that. So it looks like here's some new stuff that I haven't seen. 7.62x39 Red Army Standard, 1,080 round case for $259. So it looks like prices on that stuff have gone up a little. But there is some Golden Bear available. Those are brass plated case, still a steel case, but brass plated. That is $175 for 500 rounds. Thank you, but no. Here is Hornady, a 50 round box. This is steel case, Berdan Prime, non-reloadable. Almost $35 a box. PMC, $17 for a 20 round box. $18 if you just buy one for one 20 round box. But if you go up here to Brown Bear is the thing right now. This is in a seven. Oh no, it ain't either. This is the 700 round sardine cans at $200. We were buying 1,000 rounds for $200 just, you know, a month ago. So this is 700 rounds for $200. So they do have it back in. Yes, the prices have gone up. 1,080. Ooh. Wow. Let me back as you were. 123 round. Let's see. That's 7.16, 120. Here is, wow, is that right? 7.62x39 Red Army Elite. Okay, there's Red Army Elite and Red Army Standard. Red Army Elite, full metal jacket ammo. Full metal jacket. Made in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Brass case, Boxer Prime. Okay, it's reloadable, but it's still $519. For a 1,080 round case, $500. That's the same as that's more than 308 and stuff. It's brass primed and it's non-corrosive, but boxer primed, brass cased, non-corrosive, reloadable. $500 for 1,000 rounds. So, anyway, let's see. Yeah, on the average there. Well, up until today, average has been about a quarter, you know, about 25 cents a round here for 7.62x39. But some of these new deals up here have changed a little bit. Let's see. There is quite a bit of it available. Let me see what it says available on these 700 round cans here. Yeah, they say it's available. So, Nightmare, if you've got a few bucks sitting around that you can spare, it might not hurt to jump in there and grab some of these. All of the distributors around the country will have, center fire systems, probably cheaper than dirt. Let's go check expensiver than hell just for the heck of it and see what they got. Let's go see what they've got for 7.62x39. Compared to some of these other ones. Centerfire Systems is always a good one. Southern Ohio Guns. Let's see. Cruise down here. They've always got these things backwards. They put the metric ones completely out of order. Let's see. 7.62x39 right there. Okay, well, that's not bad. Not bad at all. Here is a 700 round, no, that's not, it's a 640 round spam can of Tula Full Metal Jacket for $159. Not bad at all. That'd be, yeah, it's not great though. I guess not terribly bad. Here's a 20 round boxes running four and a half. $150 for most of the 640 round cans. And 500 round cases of Silver Bear, Brown Bear. All of these are $139. Yes, yeah, send me that and I'll put that on the chat room tomorrow or something. I like it. Amy snapped a picture of a horse that was trying to blow in my ear while we were over there helping her clean some horse stalls out this afternoon or this morning. And pretty friendly horses over there. They get to be pests. You have to run them off. Okay, well, prices are fair, but not great. Obviously, they are going up. So, Gunbot, 1,000-round case, $229. Yeah, that's $30 higher than what it was a month ago. So, anyway. All right. Prices going up not as fast as we thought, but they are definitely going up. So you've been warned. Hopefully, the good thing about this is everybody's got a little bit more time to get a little money together. Yes, you're going to pay a little bit more, but it's not going to be, $400 a 1,000 rounds overnight like it was in 2008. We were selling it. No, let's see. We were buying it in 2008 for twice as much as we were selling it for in 2004. That's how much it had gone up. We were buying it for twice as much as we were selling it for. We were selling 7.62 by 39 ammo for there for about 2 months. We were up to about $450. And retail, dealer price at that time was $275, $299, something like that. And we were getting a little over $400 out of them. And that only lasted 2 or 3 months, and then it started slowly coming back down. And then luckily it did go down slowly, and the price just didn't drop out of it because we had all those cases that we paid twice as much as we should have for, and we would have had to take a loss on them to sell them. But it all worked out okay, except for the fact that we were having to charge that damn much for it. No. But I think that, let me see. Well, we've already seen. I've been wondering about shotgun shells, and especially some of the Russian stuff. There's some good Russian shotgun stuff coming out. There's some 25-round boxes of double-aught that seem to perform pretty well, and lots of regular birdshot and slugs and stuff. I have quite a bit of that. So Bobby and I were thinking here last summer, last fall, whenever it was, that shotgun stuff may be starting to jump up a little bit. We had a little problem getting it, not typical birdshot and stuff and hunting stuff. Didn't have any problem with that ever through this whole deal. But the double-aught and the slugs and the number 4 buck, that stuff dried up pretty well, and it was pretty hard to get. When we did get it, it was pretty pricey. So right now it's doing okay. I'm pretty well set for that kind of stuff right now. I would like to have a little more, but not doing too bad right now. So, I think Natty's right. Bobby's right there. Prices have been fluctuating a little bit. But there's no telling what with the 7.62 with 39 or any of the Russian stuff. You know what? Let's go look here. Let me go look at another deal. Let's look at some Russian 223 and see what's going on over there. Let's go. Russian 223. There are, let's see, Remington, Winchester, DRT, PMC, Liberty. A lot of this stuff, $20 a box. PMC's $8, $9 a box. That was the exact same stuff that we were buying for $2.29 a year ago. Selling it for $3.99, $4, whatever it was. But there's Hornady, Buffalo Boar. There is not. There's some Australian stuff. Hornady. Liberty, PMC. There is not a single box. Wait a minute. There's another page here that's got a few on it. Let's check over there. This domestic stuff is pretty pricey. Okay, there's not much. Winchester, Hornady Match, Australian Defense. That Australian ammo is good, good stuff. I don't care what caliber it is. That is excellent ammo. There's some Wolf Gold. It's $8 a box. The gold is brass cased, non-corrosive. Winchester, more Winchester, Tracers. All they have, in except for that Wolf Gold, they have Silver Bear, and that's it. You can buy them by the single box at $6.75, or a case of 1,000 rounds for $300. So they're not doing you any favors there. Doesn't look all that good. Let's see. Natty says that Lucky Gunner is going down a little bit. Let's see what they got over there. Well, you guys can see. He posted the link up there for you. So, well, down a little bit. Still $230. I don't know what shipping is, what they charge for shipping at Lucky Gunner. But it's still $30 higher than it was a month ago. $6 a box for single boxes of Wolf Performance. It was, $4.39 over there a while ago. $6.50 for Tula. $7.25 for Wolf, the WPA stuff. So, yeah, they're not $7.25 for Brown Bear. So they're not doing us any favors. $13 for Fiocchi, that's $365 a case for PMC. I might just pass on this Lucky Gunner stuff here. Not too impressed. All right. Well, that's our AK ammo and weapon report there. So I think what we'll do is take a little break here, about a foot long, and come back and talk about some other stuff. Got a lot of things to do in a short time to do it.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
I didn't say that, Haji.
Tune in to The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom. Keep walking. Keep on.
There are many different types of families. There was the Charles Manson family. There are crime families, royal families, nuclear families, non-traditional families, television families, and on and on and on. Generally, though, it can be said that the word family is seen in a positive light. This explains why, in recent years, various national government figures have taken to calling the federal government the federal family. This attempt at rebranding is in response to the increasingly negative perception of the words federal government. From the perspective of the hard-done-by U.S. citizen, this federal crew can look like a pretty dysfunctional family. In truth, seen through the right kind of prisms, the federal family looks more and more like a true crime family with each passing day. Of late, we've had the forged Obama birth certificate scandal, the presidential election vote counting scandal, the Justice Department's Gunwalker scandal, the IRS's illegal political targeting scandal, and this takes us to the case of National Security Agency whistleblower Edward Snowden. Snowden, an NSA contractor, finally confirmed what many of us had long suspected. The NSA unconstitutionally records every phone call and electronic transmission made by every American. Now debate rages as to whether Snowden is a hero or a traitor, though he personally eschews the term hero, stating that he's just an American citizen. I disagree with Mr. Snowden and suggest that he's far more of a hero than he may believe. I also suggest that the public had better consider him a hero, too. You see, there is a strangely reliable dynamic in the history of human affairs. When heroes are not supported and seen as such by the bulk of the public, additional heroes tend to be in short supply when they're needed most. Using the federal family metaphor, I think it can very fairly be said that Cousin Edward Snowden didn't betray you and I. Uncle Sam did. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with Just Measure Radio Network.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
What I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day and introduce them to their grandpa.
Come.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right, here we go. Let's bounce around here a little bit. We've got a lot of things to talk about other than than prior. I tell you one thing, though, we probably ought to mention is how the training is going with the lack of ammo or the potential shortage of ammo here before long. So you ought to think about some things, try to get a little extra put back for the purpose of your marksmanship and defensive training. Shooting is a highly degradable skill. And if it's not, if you don't keep up with it, at least with your dry practice and stuff, it it can go pretty fast. So naturally, dry practice is the way to do that, and we promote dry practice more than we do shooting. But you still need to go out and pop a few caps every once in a while. You need to go out and see what the recoil feels like, and make sure your gun functions properly, and you know, everything else you can do through dry practice. But then you still got to have a few rounds put away just for those times when you need to go out and shoot a little bit. So you need to determine what your magic number is, whether it's 200, 500, or 1,000, whatever it is. You need to figure out what that is that you just absolutely will not, under any circumstances, get into until the balloon goes up. You get into it when you have to get into it to protect yourself and your family. Then you have a second group of ammo, whether it's 100, 200, 500, or 1,000, whatever it is. You have this second group is what you start relying on for minimal, absolute, very minimal training, and that you will use to as a buffer in between. Excuse me here just a second. Hang on. So this buffer amount of ammo is going to be what you use before you fall back on the last up. And anything above that is your practice, training, expendable, goof around ammo, whatever it may be. So, and Natty's right. If you shoot some, try to replace. Of course, if you've got, I know a guy that's got 60,000 rounds of ammunition. He doesn't need to replace it as he shoots it. But most of us are a little bit limited on that. So if we go out and shoot it and you have the opportunity and the money and the ammo is available, if you shoot up a couple hundred rounds on a weekend, Monday morning, go out and find a couple hundred more and replace it. Better yet, replace it with a 250. So that's kind of why I've based my stuff on, is that I keep a certain amount of it tucked away. And then I've got a little more that is would fall back on when things get a little bit tough, but not quite the end of the world yet. And then I have anything other than that, which is training and recreational ammo and stuff like that. And there's nothing, certainly nothing wrong if you've got the money and the ammo is available, you know, go shoot what you, his aviator says he doesn't shoot any of his stored ammo. I do because I'm just not concerned about it. I've got quite a bit put back there, and if I find a good price on some of it, then I'll certainly go get some more, but I'm not the least bit concerned. As we said the other day, having all these thousands and thousands and thousands around, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, the other side of the coin is if you wind up shooting that up and getting a fight, well, you're either going to win or you lose. If you lose, then somebody else is going to have thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds of ammo. If you win, you get their stuff. So there's probably a common sense cap somewhere on there on just how much you think is best for you. But again, you can't have too much. It will be the barter standard of the future. So whatever, just count it all as dollar bills when you are putting it back there. The The many, I don't know if you read or not, but let's see, maybe you posted it up here. Oh, yeah, you did. You have a Ebola has made it to the United States. It is, I think, the first confirmed case in the United States was found in Atlanta, Georgia today. And we'll see what happens from there. So, off of the gun subject just for a minute, as I have said so many times, I have spent hours and hours talking about this over the years, and that is colloidal silver. If you expect to survive what may be considered biological warfare conditions, then you need to get on that silver and you need to take it every day, and don't come up with any stupid excuses like it's going to turn you blue or it's going to kill the good bacteria. Just stop. I've been taking this stuff every day for 15 years. You take it every day. If you come in contact with something or you feel something coming on that's not normal, then you take it 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times a day. As a matter of fact, Amy, hey, come here while I'm telling them this. When that guy was here earlier and had the sort, he has a naturopath, whatever you call him, doctor. They actually put him on a colloidal silver drip, IV. Yeah.
See?
They put him on an IV of it, and that's what he says. That's what brought him over the hump. He said all this other stuff's not working. And I'm glad somebody else tried. I would on me. You know, if I found that I had terminal cancer or something like that, I'd replace all my blood with colloidal silver. I mean, I'd run it in without question. If I was going to die anyway, who cares whether I died from that or the cancer?
Yeah.
So I absolutely would. I've always said that I would try it. I've never once mentioned to anybody else or suggested to them that they do an IV drip, although I've talked to a couple of doctors about it and how to do it and everything, but they actually did it on him.
Yeah.
And that's what pulled him out of it. Yeah.
Interesting.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, we don't the size and type of the type of the silver particles is silver, I guess. Size is not that critical, as long as it's around 9-10 parts per million is by most people considered to be the best. I have never once used any type of a machine or anything to confirm or size that. I've always made it the same way, just as Dr. Beck has written in so many of his articles, and making it that way and going judging by color and everything, we're assuming that it is around 9 parts per million. And if you look at some of the studies, matter of fact, I put one in my colloidal silver booklet that you can that more is not always better. The higher or lower parts per million never doesn't necessarily mean that it's better. Around 9 to 10 seems to be the best from in most instances. I could bring that article up and read it, but we'll save that for another time. So let's I've talked about this a time or two. Looking up through my, now there, somebody has written an article about it. Leave it to somebody. I ought to write articles about some of this stuff. But the thing is, what's the bigger danger to young children, 5-gallon buckets or guns? Well, the answer is 5-gallon buckets. The, let's see, 5-gallon buckets result in a small number of fatal accidents for young children, about 27 a year. Accidents are not tracked as rigorously as those with firearms. I found a study that tracked them for 6 years from a pediatric study. Analysis of Consumer Product Safety Commission revealed 160 bucket-related drownings for the years 1984 through 1989, representing a mortality rate of 0.367 per 100,000 persons younger than 2 years old. I have not found numbers of bucket drownings for later years, but the total drownings have dropped slightly from 1990 to 2005-2009. In 1990, there were 3,979 drownings. In 2005 through 2009, the average was 3,533. In 2011, 3,556. From 1990, the total number has dropped down about 11%. Drownings of children under 5 were fairly consistent from 1999 to 2010, so it seems reasonable to believe that drowning in buckets have dropped as much as the general figures. That would put 5-gallon bucket drownings at 0.89 times 27, or 24 per year. The number is small enough and no one seems to track exactly how many child drownings occur in 5-gallon buckets. Rare event, but it happens. The number of children under the age of 5 that die in gun accidents is tracked more rigorously. This in part because the gun accidents are tracked as a separate number, and part because bucket drownings are counted as part of total drownings. The latest number of fatal firearms accidents per year for children under 5 was 19, recorded in 2007. Again, very rare event. So while both firearms and 5-gallon buckets are involved in fatal accidents of young children, the numbers are tiny. 5-gallon buckets seem to be more likely to be involved in a fatal accident. To be fair, both numbers are so small as to be, there's a term that I use a lot, statistically insignificant. Meaning, you know, yes, we care, but it's not a big deal. It's not, we've got other things that we should worry about. In a country of over 300 million people, those fall into the unnecessary noise category. Of course, that doesn't help if it's your kid that's injured or anything, but nevertheless, if you look at it statistically, it's nothing. In nearly all of these cases, it's adults who made the bad decisions. The vast majority of children drowned in buckets were left unattended. The vast majority of young children killed in firearms accidents were shot by an adult firing the gun. If you look at the kids that's actually gotten a hold of guns and shot themselves or a playmate, then it goes down even further than that. In comparison, for 2007, all fatal firearms accidents for children 0 to 14 years old totaled 65. All drownings, 5-gallon bucket and otherwise, children 0 to 14 during the same time period totaled 739. I say ban water. Water is a dangerous thing. Fatal firearms accidents for children 1 to 14 have been fairly flat since 2001, averaging about 61 per year. And I know I sound like a broken record, but we have drownings, stabbings, choking, suffocation. Yeah, Amy's hollering in there, left in a car in hot weather. How many of those do we get a year? Quite a few. And nobody still, you know, yeah, we're supposed to put on your seat belts and stuff, but nobody's talked about a 15-day waiting period on buying a car or banning cars or limiting their use or doing or making everybody wear helmets and have a 39-mile-an-hour speed limit or anything. But they're banning guns when the whole thing averaging 61 per year. Hell, there's 61 kids killed every day in car accidents, probably. Certainly in a week's time. But we need to ban guns. We're not banning 5-gallon buckets. 5-gallon buckets should be on the Brady list of things that you can't have. Why do you not get caught? And why do you not get in trouble? Why do you not get jailed, sued for leaving a 5-gallon bucket unattended in your yard? If you leave a gun unattended, people go to jail for that. Especially if there's an accident happened because of it. But when someone leaves a 5-gallon bucket out there, well, it's just an accident. It's one of those things that happens. It's unavoidable. Kids will be kids. Really? Well, there you go. There's the hard, cold facts right there. Drownings account for over 11 times as many accidental deaths as firearms do for children 14 and under. Swimming pools by themselves are 6 times as likely as firearms to be involved in a fatal accident for children under the age of 15. There are 30 times as many guns in the United States as there are swimming pools. So there you go. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I love it. Here's a picture. I'm going to try to put this picture in the chat room of a couple of morons here. These guys look rough. I'm thinking that I know they're probably somebody's son. Somebody loves them. But it appears that maybe they should have been taken out of the gene pool when they had the chance here. Let's see if I can figure out how to put this one in there. It's a little bit different. Let's try that. There you go. Click on that and blow that up and look at these dudes. Let me get back over here to the story. Here we go. These guys, this happened in Arizona, too. You see them, Mimi? What do you think?
Ew. Creepy.
Yeah, especially that one there. They both look pretty bad, but that one on the right, that one's a little rough.
Jeez.
But I think taking them out of the gene pool is probably not an altogether bad idea. But Florida, I guess, passed a law recently that makes it harder to prosecute people that defend themselves with firearms. The law builds on a trend started with an Arizona law that codified the defensive display of a firearm as legal. Now, we've talked about it in our concealed carry classes, where in most states it would be considered brandishing. In Arizona, given certain guidelines, brandishing is perfectly legal if it is in the act of legitimate self-defense. Meaning, if there's a guy coming across the street with a bloody machete in his hand, he's saying he's going to kill me. In some states, if you pull that gun out before you're actually really needing it, you could be charged with brandishing. In Arizona, you could be charged if you were to pull the gun out and point it at somebody prematurely. But to bring it out and display it, to say, don't come any closer, I have a gun. If you come any closer, I'll shoot. That is legal. And it is in Arizona revised statutes. This was part of this is about Arizona. This part is about Oregon. This Oregon case didn't get the the official sanction. Shows how criminals attempt to use the criminal justice system to their advantage. In this Coos Bay case, those two guys I posted the picture of, right, two homeless guys, attacked a homeowner who they believed had reported them to the authorities. He according to them, had called in and said, hey, there's a couple of homeless dudes down here. I don't want them around here. I want you to get rid of them. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, from the news in that area, the two transients believed the man had reported them to the Bureau of Land Management as trespassers. The two took turns hitting the victim with a bat, causing extensive head, face, and back injuries, the sheriff's office said. In an attempt to escape after the attack, the victim grabbed a shotgun from his home and fired 2 rounds in the air. In the air? Hell, if they'd done that to me, I'd have shot them both. Two suspects fled to a nearby resident and called police to report that they'd been shot at. Okay. In this case, the police arrested the two attackers, transported the badly injured victim to the hospital. Shotgun round, birdshot fired into the air. Talks about how harmless they are. There, case where the shooter can be certain that a warning shot will do no harm. Shot would bounce off skin for anything over 100 yards away. Yeah, probably so. Depending on what size the birdshot is. But I would have been disinclined to shoot into the air. If they had hurt me that badly and I was able to get to the gun, birdshot or no birdshot, I'd load them up. But anyway, all right, we're not quite break time yet, so here's a kind of a reverse story out of a Target store in San Antonio, Texas. You've heard of the Moms Demand Action, this gun control bunch of idiots. Well, just this month, 2 weeks ago, they were describing the gun efforts of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. It says they were kicked out of a San Antonio Target store when they tried to hold a stroller jam in the store. The store management kicked the gun control group out for wielding signs and petitions in a distraction-free shopping environment. So, there you go. According to the report, it was just days later that Target asked its customers to no longer bring weapons into its stores. It didn't mention that on the very same day, the Target public relations group manager said the request to leave weapons home was not a prohibition, and that Target had no plans to proactively communicate with guests about the matter. All they did was simply ask that you not bring them. And so, not a ban. I don't think it's worth a boycott. Not yet. Matter of fact, we had a very large discussion about this with a couple of guys back when this first started. And we, as I've said many times, we are our own worst enemy sometimes. And by jumping the gun and getting too excited about things before you have all the facts makes us look just as stupid and moronic as it does as these liberals do. So, you know, keep your head together and make sure that you have the facts before you cause any problems. To some place that asks not to wear it, I'm probably not going to push that just to prove a point. If you do, and if enough people do that just to prove a point, well, I'm going to do it anyway, regardless of what they ask. I think that is a way probably to urge them, to coax them into changing their policy. So I either, you know, places like that, I'm not going to go out of my way to do anything that I don't normally do. And I don't normally shop at Target. So, but if I did in Arizona, I probably wouldn't worry about it. In other places, I might conceal, just like I've told you in the movie theater and places like that. It might be, you know, discretion might be the better part of valor, where you don't alert anybody to it. I would hate to be the cause of having the local theater put signs up or something when somebody got excited about it and scared of it or something. They say, well, we can stop that. It's kind of like the I was looking on watching TV here yesterday. And it looks like the Supreme Court has made the decision that it's okay to leave that big cross made out of steel beams from the World Trade Center sitting there. And I said, well, that's a good thing. And they were talking to one of the lawyers from the people that's trying to get it removed. There was five people. Count them, five. Most of us could count them on one hand. Only five. Out of 300 million... they found five that said that this thing actually made them physically ill and that it needed to be removed. You know what? Take your happy ass back to wherever you came from. I don't care if it makes you sick. At five? And there's out of 300 million people? So that means there's 299 million, a whole bunch of other people that don't care. They may not care one way or the other. They may be for it, but they're not claiming it makes them sick and trying to get it removed. I would say, you know what? Hold your hand up beside your eyes right there so you can't see it when you walk by and you won't get sick. Don't stand there and look at it and make yourself sick if it bothers you. Dumbass. Jeez, it makes me mad. Okay, well, anyway. All right, well, we're right up. Let me see who all. Let's see. Tinker, Minnie, Natty, Not Too Late, Rights at Risk, Anonymous. His aviator. All right, just checking to see who's in the chat room there. I believe that we'll take a little break, and then we'll be back. Hang on a minute. Let me get a little break up here. Let's try this.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
Some say they want to take my guns away.
And I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me it is clearly an instrument of peace and liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
Gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. Few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia? Cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Made ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday, right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answered to what I'd done. Hooks today, blood forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. A burning hell before I sailed. The tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be. From whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to, please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Saturday evening is 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
All right, we're back here. I was looking at some of the various and sundry stories we have here, and looks like the Eric Holder's planning to send 7 more ATF agents into Chicago in view of the recent problems they've had there concerning guns. They're going to try to fix it by putting more ATF agents there. I don't know if that'll fix anything. What they ought to do to fix it is get more people. You know, in spite of the them passing that law, the number of concealed carry holders that there are in Chicago is still pretty small. And I've mentioned this several times when we talk about legislating training to carry. Unconstitutional? Probably. It's one of those areas that's difficult to discuss around some folks, because we if we hadn't have, especially in Chicago, is an excellent example of that, where you have that many people that have been denied the right to carry or use a gun in so many places in there. People have, you know, several generations have gone by where we couldn't just take the boys out and teach them how to shoot. It's just too much trouble. It's just too expensive. It's too hard to do. And so, therefore, there's a whole hell of a bunch of people around there that have not had the opportunity to ever learn how to handle a gun. So what happens when you pass this new concealed carry law? Well, fortunately, there their concealed carry law does mandate, I think it's 15 hours of training. And I think that is a damn sure a bare minimum when you're talking about the quality, the experience level of the people that you're, the most of the people that you're talking about there. And in places like New Mexico and Arizona and places like that, Montana, I don't think that mandating training, I don't think that does violate your constitutional rights. I think that if you are still allowed to carry them, still allowed to have them, it's just if you want to carry one concealed, you're going to have to get some training. I don't think that that may be a little bit of a gray area. I don't know. I don't know that that violates your right to keep and bear arms. I don't know. I could argue it both ways. I can see it going either way there. But looks like Minnie's posting about a million things here about all the diseases and everything that are coming into the country right now. And that's I'll have to look up a article sometime, and it might be a little bit controversial, but it's one that one of the hierarchy of our church had talked about here some years ago, and I think it's very timely that I find this and try to get this out right away. And whether you good, bad, or indifferent, no matter what you believe, it certainly is thought-provoking, and I'm going to find that for you here in the next, hopefully in the next week or so here, and get that out to you. So let's get back here. Here is an armed good guy. As they say that somewhere in the United States, every day, there's at least 2,100 people that use a gun for self-defense. Whether they ever fire a round or not, and some of it's just displaying the gun, but there's at least 2,100 people a day in the United States that use a gun for self-defense. Most of you have heard of Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation. He said, "We believe that the American public deserves to understand that on the average, guns save 2,191 day lives and are used to thwart crimes every day. Most times you won't see these tales on the news, as it does not fit the mainstream media storyline of guns and gun owners are bad." And here's one of those stories that you probably didn't see in the news. 64-year-old Donald Sacco waiting at a bus stop in Orlando, Florida, when a man armed with a knife approached him, attempted to steal his property, and began stabbing him. A passerby in a vehicle, just some random dude, driving by, got his gun and run out there. The armed citizen ordered the criminal to halt his attack, held him at gunpoint until police arrived. Outstanding. I love it when a plan comes together. Former paramedic was also on the scene, rushed in there to help, so this all worked out for everybody, except for the bad guy. The guy that was initially stabbed was the 64-year-old guy, reported in stable condition, so that worked out perfect. Local media returning saying that the passerby was, or both passerbys were good Samaritans. Good for them. Well, here's a Democrat out of Illinois. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Proposing a ban on the use of cartoon characters to sell guns. And a ban firearm branded merchandise from children like and too bad grammar on this is terrible. And to ban firearm branded merchandise for children such as hats, T-shirts, and stuffed animals. Haven't these legislators got anything better to do? Children's Firearm Marketing Safety Act, guy's named Robin Kelly, representative from Illinois, Democrat, reflects the growing feeling among those on the left that guns should not to mention free speech, should not be marketed to children. Many Democrats argue that the marketing of guns to children is contributing to the shooting death of children across the country. And I say horse poop. When I was a kid, and a lot of you, we had guns on everything. That was before the law came out that said you had to paint the muzzles of toy guns orange. This was when we still had caps and rubber band guns and cork guns and all this stuff. Well, I had more damn toy guns laying around when I was a kid than I got real guns now. I had guns everywhere. I had every conceivable. I had one of those. Y'all remember that show I Spy with Robert Culp and Bill Cosby. I had a briefcase, and this briefcase was ever so cool. You open it up, load it up had one deal that shot caps and a little plastic ball, and you press the trigger on the briefcase, on the handle of this briefcase. It was so awesome. I carried that briefcase around, shot my sister with it all the time. And it was a common, everyday, ordinary occurrence. We all had that stuff. Everybody. Girls had it. Boys had it. But, let's see.
Sunday there was a little boy at church. I saw him in primary.
Hang on a minute. We have breaking news. And what happened in church?
Boy,
need some help with that?
This little boy in primary is walking down the hall with his dad, and he had on a belt. He was probably 4 or 5.
Yeah.
A belt with a holster and a little silver gun in it.
Outstanding. And he says she saw a kid in church Sunday that walking down the hall with his dad, and he had a little gun belt and a little silver plastic gun in it. See, that's the way kids ought to be raised. I mean, I've got pictures of me. I'm going to have to find those and scan them and see if I can get on. When I was just a little tyke, I was probably 3. Couldn't have been any more than 3. And I had my dual single action revolvers, you know, hanging on the hip, my little black cowboy hat and my boots and all that stuff. And I was standing beside the horse that I couldn't get on. It's way too big. So my dad had to help me get up on there. Anyway. Alright. Let's find something else stupid to read. We already did that one. Stupid enough. We talked about that one too. Sending the 7 new agents to Chicago. I'm not even going to read that. I only want to give Eric Holder the benefit there of even talking about it. All right, let's go down the line here and see. This, you know, this is not a gun-related thing, although it's in a gun-related publication. I guess it kind of is. But here, just recently, let's see, when does it say exactly? Here just recently they'd found new images of a Nazi U-boat, a submarine, was found off in the Gulf of Mexico. And Hitler brought the war to our doorstep shortly after they declared war on us, July 30th, 1942. Coast Guard escort vessel destroyed the U-boat after it attacked and sank the SS Robert E. Lee about 25 miles off the mouth of Mississippi. Anyway, I had no idea.
Thanks for staying with us. The story that'll make you rethink everything you've been told about World War II.
Stop.
Yeah, over the past few.
Thank you. Anyway, that didn't have anything to do with anything. I just thought I'd throw it in there. It's kind of neat. I never had any idea that they had any German ships all the way up into the Gulf of Mexico. Pretty bold, I think. Gander Mountain. Everybody loves Gander Mountain. New one coming to Houston, Texas here before long. They got a grand opening. Is Let's see when the date is here. Looks like it may already be opening. Let's see what the grand opening date is. Hold on. Stand by. And spring of 2015. So it looks like they've just announced it. 52,000 square foot facility there. And that will be awesome. Gander Mountain is a neat place to go. They're not as great on their prices as some of the other places are, but it's still a neat, neat store. Lots of stuff in there. Lots of gun-related stuff, anyway. The, well, that's Matt Bracken. How about that? You guys heard when I don't know if you guys heard the speech that I made up in Idaho at the Oath Keepers rally up there. That was in July of, let's see, year before last. There's a guy, he calls himself Wild Bill, and he is the brunt of the new liberal ire here, and they're attacking Wild Bill, and evidently he plans to hit back somehow. He says, "We know we will be targeted by the liars on the left and hated by the non-thinkers who allow themselves to be slaves of the father of lies." Wild Bill is a, I don't know if he's a writer. I know he speaks a lot. But you can find out more about Wild Bill. I met him when we were up there. And pretty neat guy. A lot of pretty interesting dude. But you can find out a little bit more about him if you want to by going to wildbillforamerica.com. And let's see. M. Jantz just made it in with us. M. Jantz, I should, with any luck at all, I should be able to pick up both your packages this weekend, and I'm hoping that I will be able to get those off to you Monday. There's no guarantee of that yet. That's one of the things about being out there where we're at is the shipping issues out there. But I think Jason is finishing those up today. So, all right. Let's go and look. Starting to run out of things to talk about here. I wasn't as prepared as I thought I was. But, well, this is not necessarily a gun-related thing, although the gal in the movie was pretty damn good with one. We saw the previews of this show called Lucy here, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. And when Amy decided she wanted to see that, okay, it don't look like too bad a show. Well, it's different. Definitely different. I wouldn't say don't go see it. It's especially to those, it's very thought-provoking. And it's interesting in some ways. But it was damn sure sci-fi. There's no question about that. But it was, to those that like to put their minds in gear and really think about things that you probably ought not to be thinking about, Lucy was an okay show. I don't know if I'd go see it again, but it was okay. I don't regret going to see it, but I doubt if I'd spend the money. I am kind of glad we went at the time that we went, though, and I didn't have to pay full price for it. That made it better. So next time I think I'll take Amy to see Hercules. Great show. All right, coming up in Texas here. Lots of stuff coming out of Texas tonight. Let's see. August 16th, 2014, Open Carry Texas will be holding an event in Five Ward District of Houston. Like all of our events, the public is invited to take part in this event to celebrate our right to keep and bear arms and protest our antiquated gun laws. We are not going to be marching through 5th Ward. We're going to be hopefully marching with 5th Ward, whatever 5th Ward is. Open Carry Texas believe that Texas gun laws continue to be rooted in racism. In order to obtain a concealed carry license in Texas, one needs to shell out over $250 in fees and requirements to do so. $250, wow. But at any rate, you still not legal to carry openly, so I'm wondering how it is they're going to go about this. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, let's see, poverty rate, never mind. Texas law prevents anyone convicted of a Class B misdemeanor or higher from qualifying for a CCW for at least 5 years afterwards. The convictions do not need to be related to violence or even involve a gun. Some examples of crime that will cause you to lose your concealed carry license or fail to qualify for one are littering, writing a hot check, or even certain traffic infractions not involving another person. If Texas were a country, it would have the highest incarceration rate of any other country. According to the D.C.-based Justice Policy Institute, out of every 20 adult Texans you meet, one is under criminal justice control. So, for those that live in Texas and think it's so great, I'm not all that convinced. There's a couple of guys down there that's living in Texas right now that communicate with me fairly regularly, and they're looking to get out of there because they don't like the gun laws in Texas. Everybody thinks Texas gun laws are just because... Natty, yes, I think so. I do believe that Wild Bill was a former SS agent. Oh, hell no, I don't think not SS agent. I was. Oh, I guess you're saying Secret Service. Yeah, that could be. I was thinking SS, like the German SS. But I don't know where people get the notion that Texas is so great on Second Amendment. It's a lot better than some, granted, and it's better than it was when I was there. I was there for a lot of years. It's a lot better. But it's, I don't even understand why it made number 8 on the top 10 states with the best gun laws, and Vermont didn't make it at all. So whoever wrote that either had never been to Texas or had never studied the laws, either one, because Texas's gun laws are not that wonderful. They're not nearly as good as probably a dozen other states. But let's see here. This open carry thing, let's see. Texas should be leading the nation in allowing its citizens to keep and bear arms. Crime rate in Houston's Fifth Ward is 3 times higher than the greater Houston area, mostly because the law-abiding find it difficult to exercise their rights. So there you go. Only the criminals are able to arm themselves, and those that arm themselves for the purpose of self-defense find themselves in trouble just for carrying and never using a firearm. We invite the community to join, blah, blah, blah. Okay. August 16th, 2014, if you're going to be down in that neck of the woods, let's see if I can find out where it is. Well, you can email... David@opencarrytexas.org if you want to find out some more information on it, or go to www.opencarrytexas.org if you're down there and you want to attend something like that, which you should. I mean, it's regardless of what the laws are and everything else, if you want to get it changed, then you need to make an effort to make an appearance, get out there and get involved, see if you can get something done. This latest article here, this is pretty neat. Well, it's not neat because somebody died, but the results of this, it says that a Texas jury has refused to indict a man that shot and killed an officer during a no-knock raid. Let's see, is this the one we talked about? I don't think so. They previously discussed our concerns over the seemingly exponential increase of no-knock raids in the country where police are giving no warning before raiding a home. Now, in a remarkable ruling, a Texas grand jury has refused to indict Godrich McGee. Godrich, I guess that's how you say that. 20 years old, shot and killed a law enforcement officer during a no-knock entrance into his home. McGee said that he thought he was being robbed and acted to protect his pregnant girlfriend and children. The grand jury no-billed the case in February. So, this I'm not going to, no reason to read the rest of it, but if more of this would start happening, I think some of these no-knock raids would be kind of come to a screech and halt here. It's like that thing that I've read several times, and I don't know where it's at right now, and I don't want to waste your time looking for it. But let's see if I see if it's right here close somewhere. Probably not. Anyway, it talks about, you know, the guy that was in the gulags, you know. It basically said that if they had spent some of their time out looking, how'd he put it? Shoot, I'd have to go find it. Anyway, you know which, I think you know which one I'm talking about, where he said if they'd if those law enforcement officers, those agents, would have wondered if they were going to make it home at night, then maybe more of them would have decided not to go out and do the things that they were doing. I don't remember how it was worded. Now it sounds kind of stupid, but let's see here. Let me try this one more time. No, it's not here. So I'd have to go dig it up. Anyway, you know which one I'm thinking about. Minnie, I think I'm going to be going with you here in just a minute. We've got, we're right at the bottom of the second hour, and I'm starting to mumble and stumble, so I may just kind of pull the plug on this thing. I hope that some of you will be able to join us for our hunting rifle class coming up on the 16th and 17th of August. I think it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. Be a little bit different than the type of classes that we normally teach. We have done a hunt and rifle class in New Mexico before, and it was very well received, and the people really enjoyed it, and you still get to do quite a bit of shooting, but a lot of this is also going to be classroom stuff, where you learn everything from, you know, type of gun, type of ammo, type of bullets, shot placement, all that kind of stuff. And also get out and shoot at, well, we're going to shoot at close range, you know, like 7 yards with a scope, so you can see the considerable difference, especially if you're shooting at a smaller animal at close range with a scope mounted, you know, 1.5-2 inches above your bore, that at that close range, that the bullet is going to hit substantially below your line of sight with the scope. So we'll spend some time talking about trajectory and all of that. So anyway, ought to be a lot of fun. If you're able to make it, give us a holler. Go to ShotsRanch.com, click on Rifle Training, and go over to Hunting Rifle and open that up, and there'll be a deal right there where you can click on it and pay for your class, and we'll send you a welcome packet and get you headed our way. Okay, well, I've had all the fun I can stand for one night, so I think I'm going to start easing towards the door over here. And Amy will not be on in the morning. Today was her Friday. So we'll see you tomorrow night with Liberty Lounge. Probably, almost certainly, coming to you live and in living color from Schatz Ranch. Now, if something happens and I'm not able to do it, I will put a recent episode of Liberty Lounge up there for you. You'll get the same music whether I'm there live or not. So there you go. Alright, we'll see y'all tomorrow night. Thanks for joining me.
Heaven will travel, reach the car of a man. A night without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire keeps the calling wind. A soldier of...
Okay, that about wraps it up for another PM edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me every Thursday night for 2 hours of 99 and 44 100% pure gun talk. Good night.
A chest knight of silver is his badge of trust. There are campfire legends that the flames men spin.